Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Thee. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I confess
unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, and bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This morning, we will chant the introit, but it will be on new tones. So you want to play those for us and let us hear. Could you do it one more time, please? You open your hand, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. He covers the heavens with clouds, he prepares rain for the earth. He gives to the beasts their food. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Open your hand. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high,
and
on
earth peace to them, Lord, men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, have mercy.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for this morning is taken from Jeremiah 23, beginning at verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, before all worlds.
Also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What is your picture of the church? I mean, apart from a building, it doesn't have to be a building. It can be. It could be a place like this here. Or it could be a big cathedral. It could be a little group of people gathering together in a home. Wherever God's people are, in fact, is where the church is. Where God's word is proclaimed and the sacraments are administered. But my thoughts often of the church kind of revolve around the idea of a place that one is restored. One is able to go and rest. Almost kind of, I guess, like an oasis. Some place where one can stop and get, for lack of a better word perhaps, recharged. We hear a lot about recharging nowadays. You got to recharge your phone, your computers, whatever. But we also need recharging. And we have our source, and that source is Jesus. Here we are invited to come in, just as Jesus, when he was with the multitudes that day that he fed them in the wilderness in a desolate place. The people came to him because they wanted to be nourished with his word. They wanted to hear good news, actually. They wanted to hear about the kingdom of God. They had their hopes and their ideas about Jesus and who he is, but they often fell short. Even for the disciples on this day who come to Jesus near the end of it and say to the Lord, "Lord, it's, you know, late and the people, they have no place to go here in this desolate place to be nourished, that is, to receive sustenance for the body." Well, Jesus, of course, says, "Well, what do you have, basically?" And they say, "Well, we have this. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "That's good." And we are told he feeds 5,000 men. So we're not even counting the women and the children who may have been there. But nevertheless, it was one of those great miracles that Jesus performs. And in that miracle, he demonstrates the kingdom of God where one can come and be nourished, both spiritually and physically. In this case, Jesus shows that he is the bread of life. And the bread of life has plenty to feed the people. He demonstrates it in a physical way, and the disciples take 5 loaves, which Jesus multitudes into enough to feed everyone, not just a little bit, not just to curb their appetites until they get home where they could perhaps have something more to eat, but he fills them up. He fills up their souls and he fills up their bodies. He nourishes them. He gives them rest. It's been a long day. Has it been a hot day? We don't know. It might have been a pleasant day. It might have had a nice breeze going on. We don't know, but I think maybe it did. We're given a picture of a place that is desolate, yet there's grass, and he leads them there like the shepherd, and he invites them to recline so that they can eat. He takes care of them. He nourishes them, body and soul. He takes care of the whole person. And that's the image I carry with me of the church today. That is the kind of place we are, you and I. We're that place that people can come and hear the word of God and be strengthened, or even come to faith from hearing that sweet message of the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. They can come here where we gather so that we too can be fed through the Word of God proclaimed in the Old Testament and the New Testament, proclaimed in hymns and proclaimed from this pulpit. And proclaimed again as we come to the altar to receive in a very miraculous way, no less than what happened on that day, the very bread of heaven, our Lord Jesus. He feeds us His body and His blood so that you and I are able to go back into the world refreshed. Not that we really leave the world, but in a sense we do when we come here. It is a place we can stop. Out there, we seem to always be busy. We have schedules. We have things to do. But here, we can stop. We can stop and breathe. Take a deep breath. Let all the haste and the busyness of the world pass you by. And recline on green pastures with the Lord, by the still waters that flow from His altar. Well, that's kind of a contradiction. Still waters flowing from the altar. And yet, isn't God's Word and His gifts to us like that? He invites us to come and rest. Come and be nourished. Come and be healed. Receive what I have for you, both body and soul. Now, we don't get our bodies filled up by this bread and wine we take at the altar, but nevertheless, we receive the medicine of heaven. We receive Christ's body and blood that satisfies our hunger. We don't leave here thinking, boy, I wish there was something else that could have been done so that my soul would have been satisfied. No, we leave here satisfied. We leave here refreshed because we know God knows our plight. He knows what we go through because it really hasn't ever changed since Adam and Eve. It's been the same struggle. It's been the same day in and day out kind of thing. Oh, the clothing changes, the technology changes, but we do change. I was going to say we don't, but we do. Because Christ comes and dies for us. He creates the church. He creates something new. Never before seen. And it is described to us by St. Paul when he speaks to the Ephesians about their state before they came to faith, before they heard the good news. They were at one time not part of God's kingdom. They were excluded. There was hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Jews wanted their freedom physically, but they also demonstrated their division with Gentiles through their customs, through their eating practices. You never sat down with a Gentile to eat. That would make you unclean. And yet Jesus does that very thing. He demonstrates what God's kingdom is about. St. Paul tells us, you have been changed. And guess what? So have those who were under the law. Because they were under the law, they had to be shown that they were not able to fulfill that law so that the playing field, we could say, is leveled. The mountains are brought down, the valleys are raised up. It's level. And so salvation is from one. Salvation is from Jesus alone, through His work, through His sacrifice, through His death, but more importantly, through His resurrection. For if He only died for us and was not raised to life, then we would have no confidence about our salvation or whether or not we even could come near to God. But Jesus has been raised. He does live, and He dwells within us because the Lord God, Jesus, and the Father come and dwell within us. The Holy Spirit has called you and I into this new relationship. We are a new people. That's what's new in the world, really new, and it is lasting, for it will go on through eternity. Even when we die and shuffle off this mortal flesh, we will continue with the Lord face to face in His kingdom. Until that day, Jesus returns and He raises us all up and gives us new bodies. Then we will truly be new in the fullest sense because we will be whole, not fractured, not broken because of sin, but whole and well. And we will dwell on the new earth, heaven, new heaven, and all things will be as it should have been. God, though, cares for us even as we struggle. He doesn't just go away with this good news into heaven, but He continues to dwell among us, and so we can say, we are the church. Needing God's feeding, needing God's healing, needing God's peace, so that we can take that with us. Like He sent these disciples out who came back to see Jesus and tell Him of the wonderful things He has done through them. How spirits are cast out. How the good news is proclaimed among these people. And God continues to send us out. Our Lord sends us out because He knows we are ready. We are equipped. And we are able to carry that because we don't carry it alone. It is not a heavy burden to do this very thing. For God doesn't take us out of our places where we are, that is, where we work, where we play, where we rest, where we gather together perhaps for a vacation, wherever we are. He doesn't make it a burdensome thing. He just says, be who you are as my child. And He will always give you the opportunity to tell others about the good news that dwells in your heart. He will always do that. There will never be a time that He won't do that. Oh, we might miss it now and then, but He will always put you where you need to be. We don't have to worry about it, but He will make it so. And it won't be an unpleasant thing. Suddenly you're doing something, you realize, hey, this isn't so bad. I didn't think I could do that. But you marvel at the fact that you remember the things God has taught you and you're able to help someone else, perhaps give them comfort, perhaps give them solace, perhaps give them peace, perhaps even hear a message from them that helps you. Because a lot of times, witnessing just isn't about telling those who don't know Christ, but telling out to those who do know Christ. To share with others who are in the family of God, whom we perhaps didn't know were in that family. We might have been sitting around perhaps on an air flight or in an airport or wherever, thinking to ourselves, boy, I wish there was someone else that I could talk to. And lo and behold, we begin talking with someone and we discover, hey, you believe in Christ too. And it's a wonderful thing because then the love of Christ is shared with one another again in a new way. And perhaps it's at those moments that God is looking at you and saying, because we're not realizing it, take a load off your feet. Take a moment. Take a breath and enjoy who I have brought to you because they're going to help you. Now, you might not hear those verbally said, but That's what's going on. That's what's going on. God is helping you, strengthening you. God doesn't stop after Sunday service. He's always looking out for you. And in looking out for you, we know we can look out for one another. For we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to fear. God is on your side. And He loves you. And He has demonstrated that. So you and I are the church. And this is my idea of the church. A place of healing, a place of rest, a place of being satisfied, body and soul. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for the compassion shown in Christ Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep and the righteous son of David, that we would trust at all times in God's right hand, in whom true satisfaction is found, let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for the Holy Church, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Himself as our cornerstone, that the Spirit would grant her unity on earth through the faithful proclamation of Christ's reconciling cross, in that as he tore down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile in Christ, so he would heal all divisions of doctrine or pride on earth. Even as the church is one before his throne, let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving to God for bringing us from many families into the household of God, that he would continually bless all Christian homes and aid fathers and mothers to lead their children to their heavenly Father by word and deed. Let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for our nation and its leaders and for God's blessing on all civil officers, that we may enjoy good government in accord with his commandments, and for ourselves and all citizens, that we may live in service to our neighbors while here, mindful that our true citizenship is in heaven. Let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for our Father's constant care and support for this body and life, and that he would attend in mercy to those in need among us, freeing them from dismay and fear by the certainty that Christ is their righteousness. Especially we lift up to you this day Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Johnny Ruther, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Sue and Dean Soberly, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Rosh, and Robert and Donna Knopf, and Cody Ohl. Let us pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who by his death has made satisfaction for our sins, and that God would grant faith to all who come to his holy supper today. We eat his true body for the forgiveness of sins and be satisfied into life everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Depart in joy and peace. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you, the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you, the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ given for you. The true blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in joy and peace. Amen.
Thank you.
to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing. We're closing hymn. No.
Also, on the way out, be sure and greet our visitor, Barbara. And she's sitting right up there behind Sheila. Well, unless you want to count Jeff. Okay, is there any other announcements from the congregation?
I'd like to say, now that the service is all printed in the book, the inserts I've left available to you on the table out in the narthex, so if you need them for the daily prayer, you should have them.
Okay. And remember, next Sunday we'll have our congregational meeting after refreshments. Voters. Could be voters too, but. We're having a meeting. Okay, if there's no more announcements, you have one? Okay. If there's no more announcements, have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.